Hello, and welcome to Investing Alpha, a podcast initiative from Amit Kumar Gupta of Android Financial Service Private Limited. If you want to know more about us or invest with us, please visit androidfinancial.com. Android Financial is a SEBI-registered portfolio manager.
This podcast is for informational purposes only. Stock discussed here are only for illustrations and should not be construed as investment advice. Employees and clients of Android Financial may have positions in the stocks mentioned in the podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Investing Alpha. The topic of today's podcast is Union Budget 2021 Preview. We are recording this on 25th January evening, Monday, and the budget is scheduled to be presented by the Finance Minister on Monday next week, 1st February. Now remember, for the last couple of years, the budget has shifted from end of February to start of February, usually on the 1st of February. So before we start discussing what are the expectations from the budget and discuss the budget preview, I want to tell you a short story. So one of my childhood memories is about this uncle who used to visit foreign countries for work almost every year. And after every foreign visit, he would host a family dinner. And at that dinner, he would explain the difference between, Europe, the USA, the countries which he has visited, and India. So he would make a sort of regret taking birth in India and make every child aspire to settle abroad. So we were usually, as kids, being kids, we were not usually interested in what the uncle was saying. And our interest was limited to, him opening up all the goodies after the dinner. Usually after the dinner, we would wait patiently during the dinner. And after the dinner, he would generously distribute these gifts to all the children in the family. And all those gifts used to have small toys, clothes, souvenirs, perfume bottles, liquor bottles from duty-free shops, wristwatches, electronic gadgets basically. And so these items he would offer to sell to us so that, he could sort of, take out the cost of the entire trip as well. So presentation of Union Budget every year by the Finance Minister always reminds me of that generous uncle. A great build-up is done before the budget presentation. Then a long speech is given. There is a very strong feeling of regret almost every time by the Indian middle class. There will be some goodies given to the poorest section of the society. The richest section of the society is get more taxed to meet the higher expenditure. So I think in the last almost 25 years, this story has been repeating non-stop. Since the 96 budget by Chidambaram, I think almost every year same thing is happening. Every time people end up disappointed and disillusioned after the fine print of the budget, when the things come out in the open and people have gone through all the details. So not understanding this whole facade of, pre-budget shows, writing, representation, expectation and analysis, etc. Hopes are, rekindled every time and they are shattered every time. And this year is no different. Even though everybody knows that because of COVID, the hands are really tight. So that is the grim reality of this budget, that government is terribly short of resources and they are extraordinarily high on promise. Now, what has also happened is because the finance minister has, come and she has said that it's going to be a budget in 100 years and so on. So that has become very high on promise. And, obviously markets have also reacted a little bit in this month because of these kind of statements being made in the media. But we know that, these promises are very difficult to meet simply because additional resources would need to be raised. And the government also knows it very well. The businesses even know it even better, that the consultation with all the stakeholders, with all the sectoral sector-wise stakeholders, it's, you know, it is sort of my uncle's dinner to sell the duty-free liquor and the gadgets. Now, this year there is no briefcase as such, because the budget is being presented in the digital form. So I actually say this every year, but still, you know, I would like to repeat it for my new audience, because I feel that the scope and the importance of union budget that has diminished materially over the past at least 10 years. And I'll tell you why. Firstly, the changes in the tax rates were initially made only through the finance bill, which is part of the budget exercise. Now, a few years ago, the government assumed the power to change the rates of excise, etc., through a notification which is out presented outside the budget. So, subsequently, when in 2016 the GST Council came, the GST subsumed all of these indirect taxes, and the power to alter these GST rates, that is now exclusively with the GST Council. So, major tax changes in the goods and services, that is done now through a GST Council, and union budget has absolutely no role in, you know, playing with these GST rates. And in, as we know that in the GST Council, majority of the states need to be on board for a change in tax to be made, whether it is increase in tax or a decrease in tax, it needs to go through the GST Council. So union budget has nothing to do with it. Secondly, there is always a lot of noise about custom duties. So now the boundaries of those custom duties are now almost set in accordance with the WTO agreements. The union governments can change these rates to safeguard domestic industries from unfair practices by overseas suppliers, or to stabilize the domestic prices in times of abnormal supply shocks. But these changes can be done at any point of time. You don't need a budget for that. So these changes are basically done whenever the need arises. So again, union budget has got no role to play in this. Similarly, you know, post implementation of the 14th Finance Commission recommendation, all the large welfare schemes that has already been transferred to the state governments, and state government make the budget and state government implement those welfare schemes. Obviously, the funds are provided by the central government, but the implementation of that is with the state government. So only the bifurcation is given in the budget, but eventually the implementation is, or the lack of implementation is on the onus of state governments. So again, that is sort of a immaterial logic while we are discussing the budgets. Fourthly, the petroleum products that has been deregulated for almost five years now, and the budget provides no subsidies for the transportation fuel. In fact, in the past year, when the crude has been below 50 for most of the time, the retail is actually paying almost the similar amount, even though there have been increase in the excise duties. So all the changes in the excise duty on the fuel, that is also happening outside the budget. Nothing is happening in within the reams of the budget. Even the subsidies are now not provided because they have been deregulated, both petrol and diesel. Similarly, in previous years or in the previous decade, there used to be a lot of this anticipation about public sector units. They, you know, how they are going to be allocated money. So if you remember, a couple of years ago, we used to have this railway budget separate, and the main budget, you know, one day, you do 1 or 2 days later. But in the past few years, again, all these public sector enterprises like National Highway, railway subsidiaries, oil and marketing companies, etc., they raise the resources directly from the market, primary market or secondary markets. So they don't get any kind of budgetary support. So either they are selling their non-core assets, or they are doing OFS, etc. But they are raising the resources directly from the market. So again, that is out of the budget preview. Now comes the tax rates for the corporates and the personal. So the corporate tax rate cut was done around 15 months ago only, in September 2019. So again, to expect any further concessions in the corporate tax, that is obviously unreasonable. As far as the personal income tax is concerned, with the taxation base of people who are filing the income tax, that has definitely increased a little bit, but that is still not very substantial. So to get a major tax reform on that also seems unlikely, even though that is sort of a top of the list of a lot of people at this point of time. I would say that because the crude prices are more, the food inflation is more, the lifestyle inflation is more. Inflation scale increase in the basic exemption limits, and standard deduction, that can be considered. So maybe the standard deduction currently is 50,000. So maybe that can be pushed to 75,000 or probably 1 lakh. Similarly, to help people save more, the ATC deduction can be, more. But again, that is subjected to a lot of resource constraints, and that may not be priority for the finance minister. Again, a very key component which has been very publicized for this budget is the national infrastructure pipeline. So government announced this 1.02 trillion pipeline in December 2019, and this proposal has been strengthened through various stimulus packages in 2020. Again, because already the mini budgets or mini stimulus announcements have come in 2020, so anything coming out major from the budget with respect to the infrastructure pipeline, that seems a little remote to me. With respect to divestment, divestment of public sector undertakings was first announced in October 2019 with the BPCL, CONCOR and Shipping Corporation. Then in the budget 2020, we had this LIC which was decided to be divested. But because of Corona, obviously, the progress in the divestment has been slow. And my sense is that it's going to take still at least a minimum 6 months before we actually see some kind of revival in the divestment or the actual money which is coming into it. It could be, I'm considering 6 months, it could be even more. But the provision for receipts are already made, but there has been no correlation between what is actually given in the budget and what is actually done in the financial year. So in the past almost 20-25 years, it has never happened that whatever is budgeted in the divestment, same kind of a divestment has happened. I think in past 20 years, probably apart from couple of years, it has never happened. So this year could be a little different in terms of, because if you get LIC divested in the next financial year, then that could be a big thing. Also, you may get a BPCL, etc., BPCL, CONCOR, Shipping Corporation, etc. But how fast that process will happen, I'm not sure. Plus, I think that government needs to dangle a carrot in front of the buyers. The offer needs to be made more lucrative. The offer needs to be speed up in terms of efficiency of the bureaucracy. And we need to see how these divestments are done. But again, I don't have too many high hopes from this, even though there have been some sections of the media which have been publicly saying that we could have the privatization of a lot of PSBs. Some of the PSU banks will be privatized. My question to them is, where are the buyers? Who wants to buy a bank at this point of time during Corona times? That could be, you know, the government needs to dangle a big carrot if they actually want to sell it. By going through the regular means may not be sufficient for them to sort of sell these companies. One final thing is that with respect to the bank recap and the telecom spectrum auctions, these are two, I think, key items which needs to be watched closely. Bank recap, because, you know, a lot of PSU banks may need to be recapped because they have done a lot of lending in the corona times, much more than private sector banks, as the data have shown. And because they have supported a lot of MSMEs, SMEs, and the poor section of the society, we need to see, you know, how they are recapped so that they continue to, you know, make provisions and do the lending in the coming years. At the same time, telecom spectrum auction, which is due in March starting, that we need to see, you know, how the 5G auction is done and how much money government can take it out from them. But again, in the past 20 years, there is no evidence of any correlation between the actual allocation and the budget provisioning. So my sense is that I have seen a lot of union budget preview reports which indicate that market participants are expecting a lot of things. One is obviously the review of taxes on investment, whether it is STT or LTCG, to make them uniform, dividend tax, whether you know how much bad bank formation can be done, whether there are any additional tax concessions to the middle class, whether there are concessions for the housing sector, especially the higher interest rate submission, etc. DFI, the development finance institutions, is another key expectation which is there, where people are saying that, okay, the banks are now overloaded and they cannot lend to pump up the infrastructure. So government needs to promote a DFI, a development finance institute, so at least of 1,000, start with 1,000 crores and probably go up to 10,000 crores, and that is going to help in achieving this national infrastructure pipeline projects. So apart from that, there are, you know, usual rumors in the market that there are going to be increase in the wealth tax, there is going to be inheritance tax, estate duty, there is could be additional tax on cigarettes, etc. But the expectations, according to me, if you go beyond the media noise, that expectations are actually very close. And if I'm like forced to make a prediction on gunpoint, then, and you know, for the sake of like good omen, I'll say do three things. One is make the capital gains tax rate uniform across all asset classes. So currently you have got short-term capital gain and long-term capital gain different for equities, and it's different for the real estate. So make that uniform. This will allow the rationalization of all the asset allocation processes which people need to take into account while doing their financial planning. So, and that removes sort of tax arbitrage between all the asset classes. Second is that there should be some formula to link the basic exemption with some objective criteria. So whether you link it to inflation, whether you link it to your house price index, educational expenses, healthcare expenses, but all the basic exemptions need to be linked with some objective criteria. So that will make the taxation structure more equitable, and that will end the need of this constant need to speculate what is going to be the exemption limit for this year, whether it is going to be increased or not. You basically link that with some criteria. So for example, you can link it with the lifestyle inflation or the housing. If you are giving some exemption for the housing, you link that with the housing price index. If you are giving a medical allowance, you link it with the average healthcare expenses per household which is happening. So that could be, you know, one of the criteria, one of the my requests, or one of the my suggestions. Third is that avoid imposing any additional taxes and cesses. Let growth come back. There is too much damage done by Corona in any case. So refrain from imposing any extra taxes or the Corona cess, as some may be pointing out. And let cover the cost of all this COVID vaccination and the COVID stimulus which is given to the economy by other means, which could be doing more divestment, selling more non-core assets, non-strategic sectors, etc. But my final thought is that even if FM refuses to oblige me of any of these expectations, I know that this is a, you know, exceptional year and she has to balance a lot of things. So I will not be disappointed if nothing is actually done in the budget and you will have again a sort of a situation where mini stimuluses, depending on the reaction of various stakeholders, that is given throughout the year, like we saw something in 2019 and 2020 as well. So that's it from my side. We'll be doing another podcast next week after the budget on 1st February. And that will be a little bit more detailed. We'll talk about what are the budget key points and how that is going to impact our investment strategy. Till then, stay safe and goodbye, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Investing Alpha, podcast initiative from Amit Kumar Gupta of Adroit Financial Services Private Limited. Please connect on @AmitGupta0310 on Twitter for more market-related updates.